On October the 24th, 1945, the United Nations Charter came into force, marking the start of a new era in international relations. Ever since then, the date has been celebrated as United Nations Day in countries throughout the world, where meetings, debates, exhibits examine the achievements and goals of the world body. Well, 61 years on, the United Nations is currently undergoing major reforms amid criticisms of corruption and inability to deal effectively with everything from civil wars to nuclear proliferation. This week, the outgoing Secretary General Kofi Annan spoke of major achievements of the past decade, together with a realistic assessment of the most serious problems still facing our world. On the positive side, he said, debt relief has increased, many civil wars have ended, and the world is scaling up its response to the AIDS pandemic. Yet the gap between rich and poor countries continues to grow, he said, and very few countries are on track to reach the Millennium Development Goals on decent living conditions for all. Many people still face atrocities and repression. The nuclear question requires urgent attention, while terrorism and the reaction to it are spreading fear and suspicion. As Annan prepares to hand over leadership of the United Nations to his successor, South Korean Foreign and Trade Minister Ban Ki-moon, I spoke to the Vatican's permanent observer to the United Nations in Geneva, Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, and asked him what he sees as the biggest challenges facing the organisation today.
The new Secretary General Ban Ki-moon is a low-key person, but very serious and very committed. And I think he will do his own share of work in a fine way. He has to continue the process of reform of the United Nations. The last Secretary General Kofi Annan has supervised, for example, the change from the Commission to the Council of Human Rights. And that change has some shortcomings, even though it was heralded as the solution to all human rights problems. It's not, because the same countries that have political problems and human rights violation problems are sitting in the same council anyway, and there is a need to look at it in a more comprehensive and a more universal way as representing not just the members of the council, but the whole body of the United Nations, all the countries whose expression at the end it is. So to continue in the journey of reform of the UN, there are some administrative issues that need to be addressed so that money is spent more effectively and certain bureaucratic provisions are improved. But I think there are two or three specific issues where a lot of energy has to be invested. One is to make this peacemaking and peacekeeping force a reality, to make it an effective tool for the international community in the preservation of peace. So that needs to be, it's been approved in principle, has to be refined, has to be funded adequately, and to have the personnel trained in such a way that there will be no more scandals of UN soldiers abusing little girls or little boys even. Second, I think a good look has to be taken at the Security Council. The Security Council is a column of the UN system. So to touch the Security Council, it can be a risky business because alternatives so far have proven to be of little value. So how to improve the participation of big countries into the system of security and the peacekeeping mission of the UN without creating too much of an earthquake in the system that we risk to destroy what we have without being able then to put back into place a structure that is equally effective or hopefully more effective. So this is the big challenge facing the discussion of reform of the Security Council. And so far, the whole debate has been paralyzed. But I think it will come back again. And we need to probably a qualitative jump to have enough imagination to come up with new formulas. So far, nobody has, even though there have been attempts to say this is a way or the other, this is another way. De facto, nothing has materialized. But this is one of the important challenges facing the new Secretary General. Then another one, I think, is again the question of development and poverty. There has been much effort to create in every single country a more coordinated UN team so that all the different representatives of agencies will work in convergence of efforts to impact the countries in a more constructive way. I think we need to do more in that direction, not just at the country level, but also at the international level, to have the different agencies of the UN to be a little more coordinated, some kind of coherence approach to addressing the same problems from different angles, but knowing what everybody is doing and knowing what will be the end goal to be reached. So these are some of the issues that I think will come up.
And finally, of course, the Holy See has observer status there at the United Nations. Are there any ways that you feel perhaps the Church can be a more forceful voice as the UN looks towards these reforms to making a greater impact on particularly the countries at local level?
It's true that the Holy See is the only observer state at the UN. And sometimes this is not understood by the UN or by the NGOs that are working around the UN or by the state, individual states. Because it's a unique kind of legal, juridical situation. The Holy See is a state. It's the only one not being a member. Yet there is a right for the Holy See to speak up at the UN and to participate in the activities of the UN and the negotiations of issues, to be present at conferences of the UN. The reason, obviously given by the Holy See to explain its unique status, is that it wants to remain above the fray and to be a little more neutral and to be able to say a word that has an impact at the moral level so that it can be accepted and reflected upon by everybody, independent of religious, political interests of the moment situations. What we can do probably to be more effective and to have a wider impact, although right now when the Holy See speaks, even though people are not in agreement, the different ambassadors, the different delegations listens very carefully, and they want to know exactly what the position of the Holy See is on a variety of concerns. But we need to probably to have stronger delegations in the UN, so that we have sufficient professional competence to be able to address issues, knowing exactly what we are expecting, but within a wider ethical framework that reflects the values of our Christian tradition, which are values that are not limited within the confines of the Catholic Church or of the Christian churches. But they are values that really, at the end, respond to the good of the human person and of the human community as a whole family under God that has created us all equal.
Thanks there to Archbishop Silvano Tomasi, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations in Geneva.